our 10-minute speaker is Pierce B. from San Diego.
Good morning, or good evening. My name's Pierce. I'm an alcoholic. Forgive me. I work overnight shifts, so this is like kind of my morning in a way. I woke up a couple hours ago, so I do that at work too, which is great. I work at a nice hotel, and I walk up to people's rooms at 10 p.m. and say, "Good morning. How you doing?" Anyhow, so back on track here. My sobriety date is September 30th, 2013, and I'm incredibly grateful to be a recovering member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was always taught that when I share, it's about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And to start it out, you know, what it was like for me was I started drinking and doing drugs when I was 12 years old. And immediately, you know, I hear a lot of people say that there was sort of like a void their whole childhood that was immediately filled by drugs and alcohol. You know, they felt out of place. They felt wrong in some way. And I can personally say that I don't 100% identify with that. You know, I don't think I wasn't abused as a child. You know, I had both my parents. I had a loving family. I mean, of course, I think every family is screwed up in some way or another, and mine was no exception. But, you know, I don't identify these as reasons that I drank and used drugs. You know, for me, it was just the first time that I took a drink, I really, really liked it, you know, and that was enough of a driving force for me. You know, it was once the first time I felt that altered state, I immediately wanted to keep that going as much as I could, you know, and I did everything I could to keep that going. You know, I immediately created a group of friends that all loved to drink and smoke weed and do all that kind of stuff. And on throughout all of, you know, middle school and high school, that was basically my story. It was just I hung around with the guys that drank and used because that's what I wanted to do, and that's how I created my group of friends, you know. And that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun for all that time. You know, I really, really enjoyed it. And I mean, really, it was that altered state was all that I wanted, and I spent all my time doing that. And, you know, school went in the drain and all that stuff, and I didn't care because I knew what I wanted, and it was to be loaded as much as possible. And it came to graduation time out of high school, and I realized that I needed to get out of Redding. I grew up in Redding in Northern California, and I thought, this place is toxic, and I need to get out of here. And, you know, if I just move, I can get my stuff together. And, you know, now that I'm getting out of high school, like, I have to become an adult and make all these adult choices. And so I decided, my older brother was living down here already, and he offered to have me move in with him. He was going to move anyway, and he said, "I can get a bigger place if you want to live with me, and, you know, Dad will help you out for a little while." And so I agreed to do that. And I thought, okay, when I move down there, I'll stop drinking, I'll stop smoking, I'll get rid of all my paraphernalia. You know, once I get down there, like, I'll start this new life, and I'll be a productive member of society, and, you know, I'll figure out my life. And at that point, I had about $500 saved, roughly, from, you know, some part-time jobs and birthday presents and stuff like that. And I thought, okay, you know, with that $500, I'll get some kind of bed, you know, and maybe a desk, and, you know, that's what I need, and I'll find a job. And I was going to get rid of, you know, my bong and all that stuff. And then come about 2 weeks before I moved, the gripping fear set in. You know, I was terrified. I was like, I'm going to go to this new place and not have my booze and not have my weed and not have, like, what? How is that going to work? Like, that's not going to work. And I was talking to my friend about it, and he's like, "Well, yeah, dude, of course that's not going to work." He's like, "Why don't you just, like, buy a whole bunch of weed, and then your brother will get you booze?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you're right, man. That's the right idea." So I took my furniture money, and I spent it on, like, 2.5 ounces of weed. And my dad was moving me down here in his truck, and so I packed the stuff away, you know, in the bottom of a suitcase with a bunch of clothes on top of it. And needless to say, I got down here, and life continued on. You know, it was not the geographical did not fix me. And then that sack ran out, and I rang up my friend in Northern California, and I said, "Hey, could you ship me some more?" And he said, "Sure," you know. And so I got that shipped down, and then before that ran out, of course, I found a new group of friends in San Diego. And I found a job as well. I started working at Ralph's, and I went to community college for like a semester and a half. The first semester, I failed most of my classes, and then the second semester, I kind of thought, well, this is dumb. You know, I could work more. And so I started doing that, and that was sort of my first hint that, like, maybe this is not a good idea. You know, but I didn't really, but I thought, you know, I'll probably figure it out. It's okay. You know, I'll find some motivation, you know, I'll read some books or something. And so it came down to, that went on for about 3 years, and I destroyed a couple of relationships with a couple of really, really nice girls, that I liked a lot, you know, but I did not like them as much as I liked getting loaded. And so I did that, you know, I destroyed a couple of relationships, and it came to a point, you know, slowly over time where I didn't really know who I was anymore, and I didn't know, I knew that I couldn't live loaded anymore, but I also knew that I couldn't live without it. You know, I knew that it felt like everything was going wrong because of the drugs and alcohol, but I also was completely terrified of the thought of not having them. And at that time, my dad was sober about 3 years. And so I gave him a call and I said, I don't know what to do. Like, I need help. I need help, you know? And he said, okay, we'll go to a meeting because I can't help you. And that was pretty much the extent of his advice, which was in retrospect great, but I was like, okay, thanks, Dad. And, so I took out a notebook, and I think this is, I remembered this about a month ago. I'd forgotten it for a long time, but I took out a notebook and I divided it into two columns, and it was like, you know, pros and cons, you know, like reasons I should keep drinking and like reasons I should quit. And after looking at all of that, like I got super honest and I wrote all these things down on a notebook, and it was terrifying. I mean, like I broke down and I just started crying, you know, and like, I'm a man, I don't cry. But I did. And so it was that very night I went to, my friend Ashley's house, and I brought her like my bong and the rest of my little tiny sack of weed and like 16 lighters and a couple bottles of whiskey. And I was like, here, do you want all this stuff? And she's like, yeah, of course I want all this stuff. She's like, what are you doing? And I kind of told her my plan, and she's like, that's great, I'm so proud of you. And then and we kind of promptly stopped being friends after that. We hung out once or twice, and I was like, well, what the fuck is going on? Like, I thought we were really good friends, but it was that connection was gone, you know? And beyond all that, you know, it's what happened was I got sober, you know, because everything was awful. And I came in, and I didn't have anything left. You know, I didn't have any options left. I didn't have any ideas left. And so what I ended up doing was I did everything that everyone suggested. You know, I started going to a ton of meetings. I got a sponsor. I got into the steps right away and finished them in like a couple of months. And I did everything that was suggested to me in Alcoholics Anonymous because I didn't have any better ideas. And, you know, the result of that is over the first year, I charged hard in AA and it was amazing. And everything got really good. And then everything was really good after a year. And so I started doing a little less AA. And that's when things got really exciting. You know, I did things like I smoked a couple of cigarettes, and like, it wasn't like I went back to smoking. Like, I just decided to smoke a couple of cigarettes, and I sent this very grandiose email to my sister, who's deep in a heroin addiction, and I told her how awesome I was and how she should be just like me. And luckily, I never got a reply from that. But the point is, you know, like, I got in enough pain. A couple months later, that, you know, I think that went on for a good like 4 or 5 months, you know, 0 to 1 meetings a week, and, you know, missing meetings with my sponsor, and just like generally being an asshole to everybody. And I got in enough pain that luckily I was able to recognize, you know, what I did wrong. And I came back and I started doing a lot more, and I did 90 to 90, and I started, you know, looking at everything and doing thorough 10th steps, and everything's really good again. So hopefully I can keep it going this time rather than jump back out to see how interesting it can get real quick. But anyway, yeah, so in general, life was awful before I got sober, and life is really, really good today because I keep doing AA. And that's pretty much all I got. Thank you.